Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Sam Cooke. I feel a little better today, and I'm trying to tighten up some bowels and to anchor my mind into the things that I am able to contemplate, because I realize that I am not going to make the journey complete if I do not reconcile some knowledge that is inside of me, where I discover that once you become spoiled on this planet, which means the civilized person you are, you cannot live up to being civilized. That's what I mean. And I think that's what all people are to do, because common sense is really telling us that we are not going to make the journey successful, though we come to learn certain things. But we have to grow until we actually grow back into ourselves. Otherwise, life can suck you out to nothing. So, to think and to feel inner pain and suffering means, you know, we have a distance to climb and to reconcile. Reconcile that which we know is a threat to drag us back into where we don't want it out. Now, I want to read to you something, and before I read to you that something, let me tell you what the subject matter is. It says, is the end of homosexual invaders Holocaust world near? Is their end near? What do scientists think? That is what I want to talk about. And I have other things that I would like to I think I'll have to try to read it, though I don't like to read, but I will have to try and read something that somebody may understand what I'm trying to say. So before I do, let me play a little melody here, and I will be right back. Thank you. Okay. Okay, we're back. And I have been overwhelmed by what I see in the world. I pray to the dear Lord to help us. Because as far as I discern, it doesn't make any sense that I spend my life trying to be the person I want to be and cannot be. I don't see it make any sense, because as valuable, do you know valuable a day that you live through? Have you ever tried to value it? Think of a way of looking at it. I think you may agree with me. The amount of wealth that gets, you know, people gain over one day throughout the world. It's a lot of money. Look at how long since humanity been on the in the world, and they have worked to get a fortune, and they do. I'm talking about in one day. So if you talk about the entire accumulation of wealth that people get within one day of their life, until, you know, let's say they started out early, maybe 17 years of age and stuff like that, and, you know, they live until they're like 80, 90 or something like that, and live when, you know, they are only good to be put into a nursing home. So think about that. Because if we can take a good shot of this situation, if you know, I mean, there's a lot of nursing home or old people place, and see the different people that are in there. And you can just use your common sense and look at them, look on these people and say you are young, right? You are like maybe 30, 35 or 40, 50 years or so. But you are still in the currency. And you have an opportunity to look at people who pass through your stage of youth. And male and female, look on them, you know, at varying time of their older age. And think to yourself how those people used to live and the things that they cared about. That's easy to think about, right? Yeah, and think how much do we make or take opportunity of each day that we live? Knowing that you're young now, but look at these old people. They were just young like you. I remember when I was young. And I wonder, but you see, I don't get tired of being young. So now that I am old, most of the time, I still behave like I am young. You know, and I'm not saying any specific thing, but a lot of times you don't remember that you're old, and maybe some circumstances hit you. And you realize in consciousness that, you know what, you're not young anymore, you know. And things that you used to do as a young person, nature does not allow you to do them now that you're old. you do have some people who are old and they can still do a lot of young things, but it won't last for a long time still. So I'm going back to the way the world is now, and it is easy to get spoiled. Easy to get spoiled. And you know, it's like, since I've been thinking about this for quite a while in my older years, and you know, I'm glad I didn't live all that reckless when I was young, you know, but it's still that I didn't know the things, the knowledge I should have acquired when I was young. You know, those days are wasted. So, no, I don't want to waste any more of my time and not aware of things that I really want to know. I really want to be able to put myself in a frame of mind that I know I'm not wasting my life. But I am saying, what I learn now in history about our civilization and what civilization is and what it means for us to like get ourselves immersed into what civilization is. And you look in your young skin and thing like that, and you may be good looking and thing, and you know, you spend your life trying to admire other people and other people admiring you for your looks and stuff like that. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking good. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. What I'm saying is appropriation. How well we appropriate ourselves, living the right kind of way. Because look, you can't be wrong and get right. And if you're right, you can't get wrong. So the objective is creation. Can you see what is appropriation? Unless you're thinking civilized? No, you won't. And now you find yourself having certain people in your attention, people who you admire and you want to fall in love with and all that kind of stuff. And you really never really, you never get to the point where you understand what the world really is and what you and who you are. So I think a lot about this, but however, if you look and see what people admire, what people talk about, you can see that they are not yoke with civilization. They don't know what it is. And everybody is talking to each other and making jokes and carry on and carry on, but we are severed from civilization. And having the capacity to make your life so much more wonderful before you get old and never get to know, it will be such a wonderful thing. But we are biased against appropriation. You know, we are severed from civilized thinking and to make ourselves satisfy with clothing yourself with the higher temperament to be such a glorified person. You're not trying to impress anybody. Really trying to impress yourself. You see, and now I know it's there are times when I feel real rancid. I feel bad when I think that there's a better life for me, cannot get myself into it. Because the more I learn things, and you know, it's the more I struggle to be appropriate. Yeah. The more I discover things, it's the more I have to fight to get out of my spoil that, you know, I get it at birth. Because when we do not grow up in a real civilized practice of making your thought be the kind of thinking that makes you feel really, really good and justifiable so, because guess what? You're making sacrifice to live the way that you think justify your conscience to live, knowing that you are not wasting your time and you're not making any mistake. I mean, you know, especially some mistakes we would call innocuous, right? You know, you're not really hurting anybody, and you're not, let's say, hurting yourself into this context. When you know that you have found the way how to you want to be, even if you're not happy, but that's the way you want to be, happiness will come. Because I notice this thing, you know, your emotion go and come, and it doesn't matter how you try to keep your emotions the way you want it. It's like, no, you will have to work a lot harder to get there. But the thing is, when you find yourself doing and behaving in the way that you feel good, whether or not you're feeling bad at the same time, but you know, it's your knowledge is what you know and what you are holding to. That's the thing, right? So whether or not you feel good, but if you know that you are in the good position and that is what is going to bring you the reward for the moment when you're going to feel good. Oh, boy. I mean, just feeling good and feel bad, it's not where you want to be. You want to be good and feel good. If we can get there, that's what life is all about and should be about. So, to those who are out there and can't get to that point where the truth is, you know, begin to open up to you and you begin to feel jealous, you know, you're looking at it and stuff like that, but for you to compose yourself to bear the pain of not have interest into certain things, you know, those things haunt you. And you know, it's not that anybody may even be finding fault with you or anything like that. You may be doing pretty good, but you have a standard set where you want to get. You know, you want to, like, walk out of certain type of mindset, and you don't want to put it back on. You don't want to come back in your brain. But it's look, if we were born and perfect in every way, it would be a different story. But if we are born with all kind of infirmities, sickness and mental thoughts that are just morbid and stuff like that, it's not going to be an easy thing. First of all, we are born blocked out from those kind of a mental that I am talking about. We're born and blocked out. Inside of us is dark. We don't think the right type of things that would make us the person that we are trying to be. All right. Now, I get the stage where I know what I want to be. And I think I'm making pretty good grade to be what I want to be. But I have greater heights to reach. And I don't want to wait until I am, you know, don't have, what do you call it now, energy, you know, to exercise these ways of life. I don't want to wait until I, you know, I'm dried out and stuff like that. No, I want to find myself living the way that I grew up and get a view of the kind of person I would like to be. And you just don't get to be the person you like to be unless you have childhood help, you know, like your parents were able to tell you certain things and you begin to grow up with those kind of things and begin to build yourself up. That would help. But when your parents are Christian, gosh, you are basically in hell and don't know. Because they ain't going to teach you the wisdom of the world. Although that's what the church deceives us into thinking. So my friends, to read and to understand the good things about life, you know, it's all going to add up to when we find out that the Adam and Eve in the Bible is not the story at all. Not the story. And as long as we think that Adam and Eve in the Bible is honorable story and good story, and everything you're doing in your life is based upon Adam and Eve, that is an abuse of your birthday when you were just born, because that's not what the Bible is really, what you're feeling and thinking, is it? That's not really it, because you're reading the Bible and you don't see the lies them in there. So how can you be the person you want to be when you're reading about Adam and Eve? It's not true. You're reading about God who make Adam and Eve. And God is not a God at all. Because God is a liar in the Bible. If you're reading the Bible good, I guess. If you're reading the Bible good, not guess, but for sure. If you're reading the Bible and you're not seeing the lies in the Bible and you think it's the word of God, it's a, you know, and God is holy, God is perfect, and you're thinking those things. You don't see no God or perfect God in the Bible. Though, that's what you may tell me. And you may begin to cry and stuff like that. What is this person telling me? And, you know, if they begin to ask you certain questions, you know, you may just have an attitude that you don't want to talk to them because they make you feel so bad. But, you see, there's a problem where you're not willing to, like, say, look here. Can you give me some of your time and talk to me? Because you know what? If if you have a knowledge to fix my mind different from what it is, because I know what it is, but if you will prove to me that what I am thinking and what I feel good in, you know, is just because I don't know better. Because if you are telling me I'm reading the Bible and I'm not seeing the lies in the Bible, I, you know, it's a false image I have of myself. Because for one thing, a roadblock is I can read, but you're telling me I'm seeing lies. I have university degrees and stuff like that. And you're telling me because I go to church, I'm believing lies because I'm reading those lies in the Bible. You don't know. You see white people, you don't know where they come from. But you know white people is into Christianity. Right? Mm-hmm. And you don't know about our origin, where we come from, because you look at the Bible as origin. That is a false origin. There is no real origin in the Bible that you're reading. That is very insulting to a person's feeling. If you begin to tell them that there's Jesus never exists and they never hear nothing like that before, then, you know, they are so many hundred miles away from home. Because they grow up with it and say they're 25, 30 years or 40 years, and you are telling them condemnation to what they think. All right? Now, you would have to be bold and have a certain type of mind control for somebody to tell you something like that, and you want them to prove it to you. Right? And if the person is willing to talk to you, well, that's a diamond. That's a good piece of gold. That somebody will want to sit down and talk to you. You don't want to go in a way somebody go, you know, destroy you if you go with it. You don't want to go out with nobody or not like that. You want to stand up anywhere you see this person or talk to you. You're not going away with nobody at all. Okay, and if this is a person who you feel like you can talk to them by telephone, you probably like, you know, give them your telephone or something like that, all right? But you have to have some witness inside of you that this person you're talking to is not a demon, right? So a few things to it, right, that we would have to have maturity and know how to do it. But when you did not read and find out the problem and somebody approached you to tell you, that's something that is kind of not the way you would like it to be. Because it's better when you read and find out something wrong. You see what I mean? But if you grew up in church and that's all you believe and know till now, it means that your mind is blocked off from knowing what the truth is. Because first of all, you need to done away with most of the Bible. Right? I'm going to read you something from the book, from the Old Testament. But it's not many places in the Old Testament that value anything, but there are places in there, and anytime you have the light of civilization inside of you, anytime you read words and they are contradictory and stuff like that, you will find out. So you are a person who will, you call it, teach yourself, you see, and you develop by reading words, because, you know, everybody you go meet out there, whether them true or them false, they must read something that put them into that mindset that they are in. You see what I mean? So they are either reading good or reading wrong. All right. Something about word, quickly. What's the difference between believe and knowledge? In all of your believing that you've been doing, has it taught you to read better? Hello? No, you think that you're all okay, but somebody now is going to say, you know, don't take you to, as long as you have the patience and the will, you know, because you know somebody start telling you nonsense, even though you don't, you just have, you can be easily, you know, arose to word consciousness, even though you were not that witty all along. But you think if somebody begins to talk to you, and although you never was someone who are keen on understanding words in the context now, this higher consciousness, and the person said, tell me, have you ever learned anything from just believing what somebody said? No, it don't give you no word technicality when you believe, because anytime you believe something, you basically stop learning about it. You see what I mean? When you go to school, they never give you a class and explain and tell you how to believe and how not to believe. They don't give you a class. But what you do in school, unwittingly, you're getting knowledge, some kind of knowledge, right? But you may be getting knowledge and becoming, the more you get knowledge, you become more dumb and insensitive to things that you should know. If you keep on reading, believing the content of what you're reading, you don't want, you're not making progress as a human being. You have to come to a place of knowledge where you can distinguish exactly how you treat these two words. You can't, they are not alike. Believe is different from knowledge. And if it were just that we believe things, we didn't need to go to school. Do you know that? I'm telling you, and it is more a bigger dysfunction and turbulent world we are in because just that. You are not. Your mind is not adjusted to know the technical difference between believe is a verb. When you go around on believing things because you are accustomed to the kind of notion of the content that you read, and especially if you go to church when you're young and you're reading Bible Sunday school and everything is based upon the Bible, you become insensitive to the very principle of understanding the difference between knowledge and believing. And if you're out there and you're listening to me and you know, listen keenly, and maybe you are a great reader and you have a college or university degree, you may be troubled by what I'm saying, because I'm asking you things that people going to universities and doing a whole lot of academical things, and they would not be able to work themselves out of what I just tell you, because they would think that it was just the way life is. You know, belief is not something they're going to teach you in school. And you just think that it's innocuous, you believe anything you want to believe. But that's a world where people, good people, educated people, make a mess of themselves. Because it takes away your mental power, power of distinction. It's a great loss of the sense of distinction when you just go to school and you go on to university and you will learn to read and do a whole bunch of stuff and graduate and go into medicine and stuff like that, and you will have that attitude so that it blocks your critical thinking, even though you are educated. I have found that out. Going to high school, when I'm old, I go to high school, and but I was about age 27, you know, so I catch that glimpse of the use of words, you know, that I call it word science process, because we don't take communication for science, but just knowledge that communicates is science. It is science, and although it is so critical, look how many educated people don't know that. But they are making, you know, they are making good living because they have education. They get a skill and, you know, and know a lot of esoteric things. But yet still, they go to church. You won't go to church if you have good word skills. I mean, the technical skill that is the science. You have skills, but do you have the science, general word usage? Do you know the science? So you go to church and they preach about hell and you don't want to go to hell, Jesus died for your sin and all. All of that is a whole bunch of, you know, cobwebs. Not Nongosa. Now, how did I find that out? After I went to adult high school. Because I never read above fourth grade level. I never been in any situation to be affected by it. And so, I can tell you, all right, so, you know, since I find out this word science process, it separates me from people in general. Yeah, because I also do paralegal. Yes, I go to a paralegal college, and I graduate. And I was trying to pass the state board on top of that, the certificate I got at the college. And I passed like three of the courses to get a state certification. And I didn't get to go any further. But honestly, one of the three subjects that I pass is investigation. My word enlightenment in the paralegal drives me much further away from the common person who have a little high school education and a paralegal education. No joke about that. It separates the goat from the goat from something else. It's not a joke. I never thought that these things exist, but I realized when I went to the adult school and eventually get the high school certificate, GED, I think they call it, general education, I realized that the way I was talking to people and people talking to me, I see a lot of things wrong because I was backward. It was difficult for me to get up to, what is it, 8th grade. They will certify you high school if you reach up to grade 8, okay? You could graduate with your perception, is your knowledge of words, and comprehension, I think is the word I'm looking for, is comprehension. The level of your word comprehension in dealing with things, because I didn't have enough word comprehension or perception. It would not allow me to go not even past 7th grade, because that's where I reach by the time I go into the class and, you know, begin to, in high school. I was having a hard time to comprehend things. So I had to put in extra effort to find out why is it I am not going up with my comprehension. Stuck on about 7th grade and I won't move. And, you know, I get a paper that gives you it gives you questions and give you choice of answers, right? And it basically show you how to choose the right answer from the question. And I pick up an idea by reading that paper. But it had nothing to do with the school stationery. It wasn't it didn't come from the school, but somehow I came upon this paper that was giving me an insight into that. And I observe the pattern and look at the words, and eventually I drew up an enlightenment. All right. I don't know what it would do for me, but the next time I'm going to go and take the test again and see how, you know, it's going to come out. And so when I went and take the test, the teacher said to me, "You pass." Oh my gosh. I said, "How much?" Because I'm thinking maybe I probably passed by one or two or something like that. No, but I mean, from just that insight that I got reading those words and the multiple choice answers, it gave me a little knowledge, and I used that knowledge on the test to see, you know, word relevance and, you know, why you should say yes or no. And yeah, I mean, I have to tell you, it bumped me up to 12.12, and that's a fact. Because I lack early primary knowledge in school. I didn't get good primary knowledge at all. There was a lot of things that I needed to familiarize with from the primary level. So I knew that, you know, I wasn't doing well and know why. So I'm trying hard. So I try hard there because I say I was in danger now of going to school and unable to pass the reading test. That's what scared me. Because I say, you mean to tell me that I'm so useless that, you know, I can't pass this reading test? I pass everything else. And I said, well, all right. I'm not afraid to say that because it's true. And it means that they say, you know, when something is not dead, don't throw it away, right? So I'm telling you, I couldn't get by with that reading test. It would have blight my entire life. Yeah. And now a lot of people don't want to talk to me. And that's a fact. I have a brother with a PhD, by the way, and some my other siblings, they have higher education than me. And yet still, they don't understand what I'm saying. So I cause them a lot of misery because they're not understanding what I'm saying about words, and that, you know, it is a science. You have to treat word as a science. And if you're going to school and you don't understand what I am talking about, there are hundreds and millions of people who go to school and don't know what I'm talking about. They would know. And if they are to be involved with me with any, like, anything that is like a dispute or stuff like that, they're going to get debt. It doesn't matter how well you're doing. If you don't understand what I'm saying about words, you are going to follow society, stumble all over, and talk a whole bunch of something that you probably would have done well out there with the common way that we are doing our communication now. And you won't make it through if indeed you were not in the know of what is there. It is there for anybody to understand. But if you just look at the page, look at the prints, and you don't get, you know, what this one is, this word and the other word is saying. How words give to us the meaning of something. And it is something for us to know. So, you know, I have a few testimonies how some people get dropped just by me talking to them. It's not like I want to, like, you know, like, put somebody down. But it's the principle in the word that I found that is substantial, a thing that we all should know who are talking. Okay, now listen to me. I grew up in the church, and I get this opportunity to read and understand words. And remember, nobody don't in person don't tell me. Whatever happened to me in the reading is because I read something and understood it. Something that I did not understand because I was very timid about how I can pass the reading test. So it is something I read that speak to me and show me something. And then I realize it worked. Finding my way now and better than a lot of people are reading, right? And I'm very sure there are certain things that I won't be able to read and compete with some people based on what it is. But there is no joke about that. I have found word communication to be a real science. And it is above the average people that I come by. And I don't find anybody that I know that is able to do correction to this principle that I have found. There's a lot of nuances in word and this and words and what you call them, definitions. Words and definitions. The context in which you use a word and its definitions. And it involves context of what you are dealing with. So context, after you use the word, it's you know, one word that you have to deal with in what you're doing. There is a word that you must work by. That word has like maybe 15, 20 or so different definitions to it. All right? So you will have to choose one or two definitions, and, you know, it varies how many definitions to that word you are able to use successfully in the context of what you're doing. Now, if you understand what I'm saying, I mean, I know a lot of smart people out there will pick up on what I'm saying. So you will choose a definition from that word, and maybe among the 15 or 20 different definitions, there's only one in there that best you are trying to do. It's relevant. That word, that definition is the most relevant. And you're going to use it in the context of what you're writing. So, and then it will go on to deeper aspects of you using the words in what you're arguing, what you're writing. So this is an elite piece of knowledge that I have found coming out of high school. And then when I got the paralegal, what do you call it? I graduate the paralegal. It's a whole different ball of wax. If you're going to talk to me and be successful in what you're saying, when I am going to be, let's say, if I am at my peak of my bright mind, you have got to know the things I know and what I am examining about words and, you know, the definitions and the context of use and stuff like that. There's a lot to it. A lot to it. I mean, a great deal to it. Why? When I am going to paralegal school and the way I talk to my instructor and other people and stuff like that, I am known for peculiarity. The way I use words. But it's not something that I could just get up and do. The average person go to school. No, because I'm not a bright person. But I tell you what I learn about the words and how effective it can be. When you're talking to somebody who don't understand why you are saying this. You see what I mean? And a lot of people think you're wrong. But only to find out that they can't find what makes me wrong according to their thinking. You see? So I'm going to go away with the goods. All right. When I tell you that church is no good, that's what it really is. No good. Don't go to church. And you probably know a lot of horrible things about church, but you would never take it to the point where you still praise the Lord. When the church and the Bible that you have is telling you that God is holy. I mean, in the Christian Bible, the Bible is the word of God, and that's not true. And whereas, let's say, if you're a American, African person, you know, I find out things. You know, based on what the background that I have, right? I find out things right from wrong. And you will feel like there is nothing above the word of God in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. I will say, look, there is only a few places in the Old Testament that I find make sense. Not New Testament. New Testament is the worst garbage that you can find on planet Earth. And about God is perfect. God is the most liar, is the biggest liar. Really, God in the Christian Bible is not a God that really exists. And when I tell you, oh, you find lies, it's based upon what my view of words really is and what is being said, okay? What is civilized from what is not civilized, all right? So these are things that are well sorted out, and I know for sure, and I grew up like 50 years in church from age 7 until I'm about 50 years of age or stuff like that. So I know what it is to be buried up in the church and believe foolishness. But if I did not find out something about word that assures me where the truth is at, I would still be going to church. I would still be going to church. But too many people like to listen to other people, like especially in a church, you know. We look at the people who preach and who preach the best and stuff like that. When you come to find out that the people who are preaching in the church are preaching something they believe. They don't have a knowledge base to what they're preaching. And therefore, if you only think that it is God's word and you don't have a way of reading to find out, is this character God a perfect God? No, he knows all things. This God is pure. This God is truthful. This God is ubiquitous. He's everywhere. God created all things. No. That's what I did believe too. But now, when you think that I am wrong about God, because then who create the world and stuff like that? Well, you know what? That's a good question. When you only think that the Bible, this book, is the only book that tells you about God, what about history? The Bible is not history, but you will want to put down history no matter what history is, and history is a record of the past. You blaspheming words like that. When you put down proper source of history, we're not talking about one of history. I'm talking about reliable history, where you have academic consultants and teachers, reviewers. They are the ones that affirm world history textbook to be history. That if you read of things or places like stuff like that in the world's history, you can Google and go into dictionaries and stuff like that and other textbooks and know that it is a fact. Because what? Academic consultant and teacher reviewers examine those things in world history and know that it is history. So words that connect with these things in world history, you will find it. You will be educated by what you find. Because it's not like the Bible. The Bible, when you think that God in the Bible is a real God, you're not going to find out that God in the Bible is not a real God. You know why? You read it many times. And you're convinced, you believe, because you can show where knowledge tell you and prove to you that that is a God that begot a son, Jesus. Now, you ever pay attention to the fact that God is a male? Can a spirit be a male? Did you reject that? No, but God is rest upon what you're thinking. And you don't know what you're thinking is nonsense. When I say nonsense, I'm not I'm not calling you a fool. But technically, when you don't know things and you are led by it, you become a fool. And that's what we're talking about now. How are you going to get out from out of the Bible, God, when so many stumbling blocks is in there? God is actually lying. His son Jesus is lying, but you're not exposed to a real, real check words and what you're reading in the Bible. And I tell you what, you respect the Bible and the church that you believe in such a way that you are not going to get to the point where you begin to dissect stuff for yourself. Moreover, if anybody begins to tell you think that this world is evil the way the Bible says it, But it is the Bible that is evil that you should be careful of. Yeah, and that is true. So God, who he and his son create the world, is not true. But that's what we believe when we stop at the Bible. The white people set us up like that with the Bible. And we think that our African people of Egypt and stuff like that helped to write the Bible. That's not true. These faggot white people, them do it. Okay? And we African people believe these things. And we were born believing them, you know, see. Now, I'm changing that. I'm changing that. Because as long as people develop a higher sense of knowledge, then they won't use this bugaboo belief system to knock knowledge out of your mind and make you cling to believe. And all these dear things that you hold, you will never let loose of them. But I am free now. And now I know that the heavens and the earth and all the things that we see going on has nothing to do with the Christian Bible. Lie. Hypocrisy. God and his son Jesus. If you can't pass the test, if God is a perfect God, he and his son Jesus Christ, because that's what the New Testament is full of. Oh, God, oh, Jesus and his father is very, very close. And, oh, you know, God beget the son and blah, blah, blah. It's a homosexual book. You get it? It is a homosexual book. And that's the reason why they set up the character of God and his son Jesus. But, you know, when I came up to the point where I must examine whether or not God and all the things about Jesus are true, I have to go back into Proverbs where they talk about God and his son. There is no such a thing about a God, Jesus and God make the heavens and the earth. This is what white people want African people to think. They want to get us to think that, yeah, Jesus Christ, that we are to believe. Because you can believe into any filth. And it will lead you to your grave and you think it's true. But we have to go through words. And look, that is what bailed me out. Because I dare to be great with the word. Oh, when I see all the things that they go on with the African people in Palestine, you know, when we are coming to Africa in the east and come up further to the west and Palestine, and many, many years went by, these white people had a runnings with us when we were leaving Africa in many, many years ago. Now, they get our blood, these white people, because in the World History textbook, they come from apes. White people here come from apes. Yeah. And, you know, anybody can ask me, probe me on this. Call me anytime. Maybe not today. It's about 15 minutes to go. But anytime somebody can call me and talk to me about this. I say, these white people are the trouble in the world. They don't have a government. They are thieves and robbers. These white people right here. And there is no way that they can prove that they are not. Because how did they come into the United States? They invade us, and they colonize us, and we couldn't do anything. And why we were not able to do anything? Until this day, they call themselves Romans, and we don't detect that they are not Romans. Word knowledge, word power, speaking the truth, Not like somebody who is hateful and all that. And you may say, well, when I'm talking about Jesus and, you know, Jesus died to save you and you are to be, you forgive others and all. They are the ones who want the forgiveness, you know, see. When you find out that white people are vagabonds, thieves, robbers, and, what do you call it, wrong emulation of the government that came to earth. Civilization. You think white people are civilized? You're wrong. Okay? Look at Donald Trump and you will begin to learn something. If you think they have a government, no, look, oh, we've been going on all this time with AD and Adamany with Christmas and Easter and all this kind of stuff. And we don't find out yet that these people are liars and robbers and how much of us they have killed in Holocaust and how much they of the Chinese they killed in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and everywhere around the world they go from stealing our military. 509 BC, that's where they put down our king and take control of Rome. And everything you hear today is white people are Romans. They were never ever Romans. They come from monkeys. In the world, it's a textbook. I find it. White people are coming from monkeys. It's our blood they have because the Elohim created us in South Africa. Look, the big story is there, and they keep us from knowing the story about our origin and make it sound like a fairy tale when anybody wants to talk about it. These sodomite white people. You hear me? All right, let me move on because I know what I say already. And I know what is left to say. And I won't be able to say everything I have to say. Okay? But what I'm trying to tell you about words, if you can pick up something from what I'm saying and get yourself on point with the way you use words, train yourself to walk the walk with it, you will find out things that someday, if you are not one person who see the things I see and come out with it like this, anything I say, I make it available to anybody who wants to talk about it. 347-850-1358. We need to put the white people on trial. You hear me? They need to go on trial. We need to ask them questions they need to answer because they have God as a man and then say God is a spirit and him begat a son. And the whole Jesus is the only thing that God created. And as a man without a woman, God begot Jesus. And the two of them make heaven and earth. A homosexual them attack. 12 disciples. Now, Jesus is one of the biggest liars. But you won't know. I'll tell you. But it's for sure because I catch these lies in the Bible. You know, like St. Paul, that never exists. Those things are not true. And you can sit there and, you know, and look, don't sit there and pick at me, you know, because I have the Bible. I have prehistory. I have the dictionaries. I have textbooks, a whole lot of these books, you know, that stand up against the dirty Bible that we are reading. All the prophecies that you think fulfill and stuff like that. Do you think, get this one, and then I'm going to move on to another line. Do you think that there was wise men following a star to carry frankincense and myrrh to the baby Jesus? Now, you can kiss that goodbye because it never happened. And the way I know that is not since I was a child. I believe that all along. But it's lately, in my old age, I'm reading and find out that it is not even a story. They make it up. Like many, the story of Jesus and God and Apostle Paul, 4, 12 disciples, and these things. Do you know that Jesus did not want to die for our sins then? Eh? No. These white people fool us. But you don't know where they're coming from. They're coming from hate. And they attack us and get our blood and go away, go hatch up their sodomite culture and come back for us. That's why you see where they are here today. Everywhere we go, they come. Now, when we talk about Palestine, it's Africa come from and come up into the Western Hemisphere here. And they come after us. Put down the king in Rome, 509 B.C., and about 400 or 500 years later, they come and overthrow us in Palestine. Have a war from AD 60. No, AD, they began, okay. Yes, I think is they started the war AD 70. No. I think it's a 4-year war, and I think it's about AD 60 because they changed the calendar, our official calendar, right? But it's a 4-year war, and the war ended I think AD 70. So it's like about 65 or 64, right? Because the war ended in AD 70, right? And that was when they throw us out completely out of Palestine. But we did, you know, nobody seemed to put it together that, oh, we were coming from Africa and coming to the Western world, right? And Palestine is one of the places that we settled. And they come there and look at what they did to us. Look what they did to us, and we don't find out. We talk about Caesar Augustus and all this kind of stuff, and Caesar Augustus is a faggot, and we never find out. They write into Isaiah book and talk about who art revealed or report unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Look, we need to get these faggot out of our territory, because that's what these white people are. You talk about the president of the United States and stuff like that, and the behave like it's a glorified thing. We don't know. But when we know, they won't be here. They won't be here. Because we need to get rid of the church completely and their democracy government. We have our own government. And that we're supposed to know. And we cannot go forward unless we know the truth about us. These are homosexual, and you have them in the Bible, Genesis 19. They want to, like, destroy, you know, like, drag Lot's door off the hinges. You know why? You read it in Genesis 19. It's their Bible. They write these things because they are the sodomites. Okay? What did they do?
What do you read about them who are here? We have to be worshiping them. They come here and steal everything that we have, because their disease that we have is what put us where we are. We can't fend for ourselves, because their disease is what they used on us from 100,000 years ago until the rest of the time they come here, 1492 or something like that. They come here and they finish us off. They know that we are not thinking and we don't know where we are. They know that. But it's not destined forever, right? Because they have a God begot a son and no woman is involved. Is that homosexuality? Yes, it is. And men of disciples leaning on Jesus' breath. They are giving us the code to let us know who they are, but they know that we are not likely to know. This is what is happening. But they will have a rude awakening. It's a matter of time. Not because you should see a lot of things happening. And if you have high, see the signs of the time. But outside of that, you know, it's like tornado that just suddenly, suddenly materialize and begin to do a whole lot of damage, destroying people. You see their roof begin to fly and all kind of stuff. Listen, it is for us to take warning. We African people must take warning and get out from them. But I understand. We have a lot of mental problem over the past 100,000 years. But I tell you what, some of us are getting better mentally. And there is going to be time of restoration when these faggots will be gone forever. You watch. Because for them to despise the work of the gods that came here into South Africa, in the Abzu, they came here and dredged the four rivers that today, those rivers are used to create our big civilization, Mesopotamia, India, and China. And these sodomites come and enjoying everything that belongs to us. Okay? And they let you know who they are in Genesis 19. They want to wrench off Lot's door because of two visitors, and those were not human beings. Those were Elohim beings. Not creature, but being. And they got what they never expected. They were struck with blindness. That's what they wrote in the Bible, true or false. They are writing and identifying themselves as faggots. Okay? And today, we hold that Bible and clutch that Bible like it is a holy Bible. And the talking serpent. Who do you think is the talking serpent? Until this day, we don't care what this talking serpent is. But it's them. It is something that they have done to us and talk about we fall. They are the one that caused our fall. But here they are doing it to us, and it is for us to know these white people are the cause of where we are today, right? And consider, what are we supposed to do to get back into the way of our holiness to our gods? Not with this Bible and Christianity, where they're telling you about a God that is like the only way this a male God could begot a male son and no woman involved. You believe that? You don't believe that. All right? You got to get away from them. Okay? And all you have to do is know that this, the word indigenous means the first people. right? The first people are the first of anything. And they don't care that we are indigenous. They don't care that we are hybrids. They don't care. These white people, because we're not telling them anything for them to flee. We're not telling them anything. But here is the thing. We must know that we must get out of the Christian church, because there is no church whatsoever in civilization. Okay? And as long as they have us believing these kind of old nonsense and we are subject to them, we are not going to fare well at all. Never. But if we don't care, we will perish, because there is plan for things to get better for us. And look around, you should see. But if you don't care, you're going to get perished, because then you're going to see some tornadoes coming for you as well. You know, get out from among these sodomite white people who need to get out from among us. They used to call us Jews 2,000 years ago or so, and said Jesus was the king of the Jews, and Jesus belonged to the Jewish people, us, not them. And they were Gentiles that they said Paul was preaching to, them, right? But what happened to now? The whole thing fall apart, right? We are neither Jew or Gentile today. Or maybe they probably look at us as we are the Gentiles now, because they do anything they want to do, because we are not thinking, we don't know. All right. But there are those of us who are coming into the know, and you're going to see changes. Changes are happening. So look. Now, let me go on to this. So I told you, from the digest, is the end of homosexual invaders, Holocaust world, near. Is the invaders, Holocaust world, near? Of course it's near. What do scientists think? Let's see. The Daily Digest writes something here. Let's see what it says. Following. Is the end of the world near? What do scientists think? Story by Zelibs, E.S. With interest at how the orderly earth has suddenly changed. A. The earliest Americans arrived in the New England 30,000 years ago. Talking about the earliest Americans. People traveled by boat to North America some 30,000 years ago, at a time when giant animals still roamed the continent, and long before it was thought the earliest arrivals had made the crossing from Asia. Archaeological research reveals today. All right. July 22, 2020. July 16, 43. B. Did they think these acts of nature were works of the devil or acts of God? Who is God anyway? When I see they write God, I have to do that, because I know
that there is no such a Abraham God like they write in the Bible. It is a perversive thing to point out capital G-O-D as a God of the world. Okay? It's nonsense. That's not what pre-history tells us. Okay? If you want a Bible God, you can go want the Bible God, because that God is going to lie all over the place telling you about Adam and Eve will die if they eat the fruit. Right? Only for the serpent, what they wrote, come and tell Eve, it's a lie. God, no, they won't die. They will be wise of God if they eat the fruit. Hey, until today, the serpent word stand, and God is a liar. But people don't care about it because, look, we are demented, the African people. We are demented until we don't know the truth from a lie. Okay? And that's a fact. So it goes on to say here, did they think these acts of nature were works of the devil or acts of God? The first possible tornado report in the United States occurred July 1643. Think about that. In Lynn, Newberry, and Hampton, Massachusetts, documented by author David Ludlam. Counting the dead, meaning these white people killing us, African ethnic indigenous people, we who come first here. That's what indigenous mean, you know. But they don't care. You can't trust these white people with anything. You can't trust them. You see, they want us to think that everywhere we go, they have a right to come there and say it's theirs. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, no, this, you know, it's gross mental deficiency when we allow them to do that, but we can't do any better because them do it already. And it is not us. Our ancestors are the ones involved, and we now grow up into it. So it means we have to have realization of what happened by reading properly and know exactly how to behave ourselves. We can't be under white people who are real faggot, homosexuals. And they're going to talk about Jesus that don't exist. No God that never exists. And they're using it against us. Well, we must wake up. Wake up. So it says, counting the dead, estimating the loss of life in the indigenous Holocaust, 1492, presents David Michael Smith, University of Houston, downtown. During the past century, researchers have learned a great deal about the nature and scope of what Russell Thornton had called the demographic collapse of the indigenous population, meaning that we are here, like they said, some 30-something thousand years that we came here, right? The first people, indigenous, we. Why they did not come to the Western world before? Because they come from apes. They weren't able to talk. They couldn't go anywhere and do nothing that is civilized, these white people. But we don't know because we don't read. And if we read, we don't read no better than reading the Bible, where we don't know what we're reading. Okay? There's a lot for us to open up to know in reading, and not anybody like telling you a whole bunch of nonsense. I am telling people what I read and what I know. okay? And it may sound weird, but it is not weird. What I'm telling you is true because I read it myself. These white people are not human beings. White people are not human beings, okay? They are coming from 3 to 4 million years of evolution. And they develop in Africa and go into Europe, my friends. I know the fact truth about these sodomites and where they're coming from. When I tell you that they are monkeys, yes, that's what white people are, monkeys. Okay? And that's what the authority book says. Okay? So if they don't want to get back to where they come from, that's their business, because the truth been here, bursting the seams and coming out. Now, what they call heaven, it's not heaven at all. You see? And whatever they say is not it, because they never had civilization from anywhere. Civilization come from the heavens. And we are the first human being that talks, are full civilized people. And they have come and rob away from us by their disease as apes. We never had any disease. They had the disease and invade our lives and put us where we are here. Okay? We supposed to know. If we don't want to know, you go and go make them give you Social Security. So it goes on to say, yes, the demographic collapse. That the white people come down on us and begin to like collapse our life. Of the indigenous population in the Western Hemisphere, like I told you, we come up right up into Palestine and take away our senses from us, because they begin to use their lethal diseases on us, and that's what put us where we are. Yes, Russell Thornton has called the demographic collapse the indigenous population in the Western Hemisphere, 1492. As David Stannard has explained, the almost inconceivable number of deaths caused by the invasion and conquest of these lands by Europeans and their descendants constitute the worst human holocaust the world had ever witnessed. Other devastating assaults and these ways of life included the Spanish mission in California, Florida, and Texas. The U.S. government's attempts to make Plains Indians into cattle ranchers and Southern Indian into American farmers . It's all efforts. It's all efforts by churches and governments, their so-called AD and Adamani government, to undermine Indian religious, governmental, and kingship system. All who we here are going to Christian church, we don't know because of these sodomites who want to wrench off Lot's door and drag out his two male visitors. They wrote that Lot said to them, or plead to them,
to take his two daughters and do what they want to do with it. It don't sound like a story for real, but that's what they wrote. That's what these faggot white people wrote in the Bible, the Holy Bible, they call it, the misnomer. But they wrote it, and so, this is our government that we came, what they say here, 30,000 years that come to the Western America, in the Western Hemisphere. And here we are under these slackers. But, you know, Lot did not just keep quiet, but he had the guardians there with him when these people want to bust the door down and come in, because them said they want to have sex with those visitors of Lot. These homosexuals that you see here today, now they come here and like give themselves license to have all kind of sex them want with the African people. We are, like the writer here wrote, you know, that we are under the collapse, that these white people follow us, and you know, it's a big story for us to find out and understand, okay? And the truth will heal us. But if we can continue to follow belief in Jesus Christ, we will never be healed, but we will perish. Those of us who fail to find the truth and walk in it, you will fail, because there's no God up there in heaven looking for us if we cannot, you know, I mean, cleanse ourselves. No, they didn't make heaven for us to come there. No, they did not. But somehow, they have taken some of us up there, though. It's not what we think in the Bible. It's something else. Now, we have kingship. That's what the gods brought here. And these folks, once the gods left, they begin to pour them thing on us. And we are supposed to protect ourselves, and our ancestors did not protect us. So here we are today to examine the kind of a world that we come into and learn to do the things that the gods want us to be like. And so I'm going to leave that there. I'm going to read you something. And this is, you know, one of the rare places in the Bible that I can read something like this and don't feel nervous about it. Listen, this is from Isaiah 59. All right? And I'm going to try my best to read as coherent as I can, so that somebody understands things from the Bible that don't sound Christianish. This sound like a sound, wholesome information that people who want real salvation will get edification from it. All right? Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None call it for justice. None call it for justice, nor any plead it for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and what this is, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth crushed, breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their work. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever go therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity for brightness. But we walk in darkness. We grope against the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places, as dead men. We roar bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgression are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgression and lying, in transgression and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot enter. Yes, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, pleased him, that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his harm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and on helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing. Yes, yes, for clothing. And was clad with zeal as a cloak, according to their deed. Accordingly he will repay, right? So it goes back, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries. Recompense to his enemies, to the islands, he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and the glory is glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard unto him. The Lord will lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit upon thee, and my words, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord. From henceforth and forever. Okay, my friends, this is clearly one of the scripture in the Old Testament that makes sense to me. Okay? So, I want you to be blessed. And, you know, I didn't know I was going to come off feeling as good as I do. I really feel revived. Really feel revived. And I want, you know, to send blessing your way and hope that you will receive your blessing based according to your thoughts and your reverence to your Creator, the Elohim, the Elohims, the gods. They are the ones that we know. We don't know about Christian Bible God. They say God is a spirit. We don't know that. We have prehistory about what happened with the coming to earth hybrid. Not hybrid, but of the Elohims that came to earth on their own mission. They didn't come here to create us. Now we see the world full of people and all that kind of thing. No, you don't know up from down. But listen, I am looking for the truth where I can read it and know it on anybody that I hear talking and they're making sense. I don't want anything else. I mean, anybody, like in this case, to each his own, you must know what you're going after. You're a human. We all will pass away at some point. And it's all, I know that it's for me as an individual to focus on what I want in my body, in my brain, okay? And if I find something that I'm proven true and somebody wants it, come take it. Because you can't take away the wisdom that is in me. I'll give it in duplicate, you know? Do anybody want me to talk and tell them things I find? But I can't go out and just tell people things that they don't want to hear in the first place. Okay? But I am telling you, call me anytime on the show here, 347-850-1358. You take good care, and I tell you what, I feel good because guess what? I'm not being bad. I am craving for the truth. And I am learning how to get it and how to preserve it. So, you know, when I don't feel good, I don't feel good. And you know, then when I, you know, I get hungry and pining and thing like that. You know, like today I come in, I didn't know where I was going. But I find because there are a lot of things that we have that the good Lord will inspire us and sustain us to live
after the knowledge we have received. Blessings to you and take good care. Let's see. I don't. Equal rights and justice. Let's see.
crime.